Can Brad Stevens stand up to the pressure of the trade deadline? And is he sort of the anti-Ainge? I'm talking about that with the Globe's Chad Finn right now on the Locked On Celtics pod. Rain and Jay's back with the vengeance. Back. All the real Celtics fans in attendance. This the truth like 34. It's like walking in the garden when you hear the roars. Crowd goes crazy, most in-depth coverage on the daily, mainly podcast royalty, the content kings. When you talking about the franchise with 17 rings, focus like Danny at the deadline. Global with it, got a local feel like the red line, the blue line, the green line. Play it in between time. I'ma throw my C's jersey on in the meantime and press play. When the F's done, I can't wait until the next day. Trying to stay in tune with the C's, that's the best way. Melly. Hey there, welcome back to the Locked On Celtics podcast. Thank you for making the show part of your daily routine. Here for you Monday through Friday right now, still rolling through the offseason. I'm John Corrales. I cover the Boston Celtics for Boston Sports Journal. I've also written a book called The Boston Celtics All-Time All-Stars, which you can get everywhere books are sold, and personalized copies on my website, johncorrales.com. I have Chad Finn from the Boston Globe on with me today and tomorrow. Today, we're talking about Brad Stevens. Tomorrow, the Jaylen Brown show. Getting deep into Jaylen Brown. People have mentioned in the YouTube comments, people are sleeping on Jaylen Brown. We're not sleeping on Jaylen Brown anymore. That's tomorrow's podcast. Today, Chad and I are going into Brad Stevens, the job that he's done, the job that he's going to do, and whether he can handle the pressure of the trade deadline and how he is different than Ainge in a lot of ways. So let's welcome in Chad Ford from the Boston Globe. Hey, Chad, thanks for hopping on for a few minutes. How you been?
I've been well, John. How about you? Fairly eventful Celtics offseason. Fairly eventful everything in Boston sports.
Yeah. So the Celtics offseason has been paced very nicely. It's like, oh, okay, we get some news. Okay, interest dies down. Here's something else. And then the interest dies down. And like Brad has paced things out where I kind of generally have something to talk about in these days of like stretching it out and coming up with hypotheticals are fewer than they were in the past. But we might as well start there. I want to talk about a couple of things today. We'll start with Brad, and then we haven't talked about Jaylen Brown. Like Jaylen Brown has flown so under the radar this season, but I'll save that for later. Let's start with Brad. Because that was the biggest surprise going into the summer, right? All of a sudden, all of us were ready to do our postmortems on last year's team. And then the Celtics said, nope, we are changing the conversation. It's Brad as president. Danny Ainge is gone. And we're gonna try to forget last season as quickly as possible. So just from your perspective, when you've seen – what have you seen from Brad that, you know, there are varying degrees of opinions here on Brad Stevens. Where do you land on what he's done so far?
Yeah, I think it's pretty crafty of him so far. I mean, he's, I guess you'd call him a novice at team building, right? It was a little different to what he had to do at Butler with recruiting and, you know, cycling players in every 3 or 4 years. It's not the same as building an NBA roster with the, you know, salary cap and all the restrictions that you run into. And it feels like he's navigated it really cleverly, moving on from Kemba's contract right away and getting back a fairly appealing piece in Al Horford, certainly a movable contract in the second year of it, and signing Josh Richardson, who seems like a nice pickup, getting a great deal on Dennis Schroeder. It seems like if you didn't know better, you'd think this was a guy who had been in a front office for a long time, and that is probably the best case scenario of what we could have expected, considering that his experience in the NBA, other than chiming in with his opinion to Danny Ainge and Mike Zarin and those guys, is his experiences as a coach. So I think he's made the transition really well.
It's almost as if he had more input than he let on with us.
That's a great point.
Was maybe a little more involved in some of those moves than he liked to relay to the media when he always says, nah, I get paid to coach the team. Yeah. You just tell me what players I have and whatever. I think Brad was more involved. I'm not saying he was there day to day, because obviously you travel with the team and all of that stuff, but I feel like he had a better grasp, because why would they turn around to him and say, hey, do you want this job? This is the ownership group trying to win another championship, and they feel like Brad is good enough for that. Forget the whole maybe they paid him because they didn't want to pay off his salary and all of that stuff. I doubt that.
It's a sports radio take.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You don't give the guy the job. You don't offer the guy this job. If you want to kick him upstairs and make him a special assistant to Mike Zarin, then fine. That's right. Paying him to not coach your team. But to make him the president of basketball operations, they had to have a very good sense of all of the things he had done in the past. So we are having these. I've had this take the same thing. Wow, man, he's really taken to this job really well. Maybe he's been doing this for a little bit longer than we think.
Well, what do we know about his predecessor? I mean, Danny was going to make the ultimate call. You know, he was the alpha and all of that. But he's also a guy who asked other people their opinion, whether it was Brad, whether it was Doc, certainly before him, who was a peer in a lot of ways to Danny as a player and then as coaches in the NBA, and surely someone whose opinion he respected on player analysis. I think he probably, before making his decision, bounced things off a lot of people. So, I think you're onto something. I think Brad probably, you know how he is. He's not going to tell us, yeah, I had a lot of say in this move or that move, but he probably did have input on certain things. What I found really interesting was the guys who just, not so much the guys who resigned. You know, Marcus get his contract, a deal that everybody seemed to think was good for both sides with Robert Williams. But just the guys who clearly aren't coming back. You know, I don't think he was too excited about Tremont Waters, Taco as the kind of the sideshow the last couple of years, and mm-hmm. probably looking for different players in those two-way roles, or better yet, veteran players who can help off the bench rather than having a couple of projects who might turn out to be something, but you know, on the other hand, might not be.
I did say coming into this season, we're going to get a real good sense of who Brad values and who he doesn't, because he coached these guys, and
yeah.
Some of the answers that, like you said before, the sports talk radio takes, well, we're going to see the report that Marcus Smart was getting on Brad Stevens' nerves and all of that. We were going to find out the truth, because a lot of decisions had to be made about these guys in particular. And as much as he probably liked Kemba Walker, because everybody likes Kemba Walker, nobody dislikes Kemba Walker, the person. You know, he did have to make that move. So he didn't see Kemba as, you know what, we got to have this guy here. We just got to figure it out. He could never make that argument. So moved him pretty quickly. So Marcus Smart, obviously. Robert Williams, obviously. We found out about the injury history with Robert Williams. Clearly not so concerned that he wouldn't commit to at least $10 million in that first year, right? So I think Brad got to, I don't want to say tip his hand, but I think a lot of the stuff that we've been hearing over the past couple of years, like, he cleared up a lot of that over this summer. We know who he values now. We know who he doesn't. We know, or at least not to that level. And now the question is going to be, who does he move to get down to 15 or 14? I think if he gets down to 14, that'll be telling too, because clearing the extra roster space is not having a guy on your roster for a reason.
Right.
And you're anticipating bringing somebody back and filling that somehow. Back with more from Chad in just a minute. But first, I got to tell you about Sweat Block. It's the answer to excessive perspiration. I know that it's an embarrassing problem. You don't like talking about it. I'm going to talk about it for you. A doctor had the same problem, and he created Sweat Block. Now he recommends it for up to 7 days of being sweat-free in your problem areas. Take a shower, get the Sweat Block wipe, apply it to the problem areas, wake up in the morning, wash it off, and you are good to go for up to a week. Go check out the reviews on Amazon. There are 13,000 of them compiled over 10 years where Sweat Block was a bestseller. Check it out. The videos from Rachel Ray, where firefighters tested this under their gear and came out with dry shirts. If your shirt's not dry after using Sweat Block, you got the guarantee money back. Doesn't matter. If it's worked, then great. You have yourself a little secret to your confidence and you can wear what you want to wear. If it doesn't work for some reason, you get your money back so you can use it with confidence one way or another. Go to sweatblock.com right now. Check it out. Use the promo code LOCKEDON. You're going to get 20% off. 20% off at sweatblock.com with the promo code LOCKEDON, or pick some up at Amazon or at CVS. Today's show is also brought to you by DirecTV Stream. Does this sound familiar? You've got one device that lets you catch the game live, another that lets you stream your favorite shows, and then you're watching sports highlights on your phone. Plus, you're stealing your neighbor's best friend's login for all of the good stuff. Well, there's a simpler way to get all that entertainment you love without the hassle, and a great way to finally get your TV together. It's called DirecTV Stream, and it brings your live TV and on-demand favorites together like never before, so you can watch your favorite sports, movies, and shows all in one place. That means no more juggling remotes, no need to buy another device ever again, and the best part, no annual contract. So get rid of the clutter and the confusion and get your TV together with DirecTV Stream. You can learn more at directtv.com. That's directtv.com. Compatible device required. Content varies by package. Have you subscribed to the Locked On Celtics podcast yet? You can wherever podcasts exist, and you can follow us on Spotify.
To your point about Brad tipping his hand, there's one thing we know about him, John, that he's practical, that he's going to think everything through and be even keeled about it. And I think in the case of Marcus Smart, it can be both things. It can be that he drove him crazy. And I've heard that was true at times. And I think Marcus drove everybody crazy. Guys on that bench, people writing about the team, people podcasting about the team, people watching from home. There were frustrations there. But you can also look at the other side of it and say, this guy does so much with the intent of winning the game. Maybe he wasn't quite the same defensive player last year. Maybe some of the injuries are taking a toll as he gets older. We don't know that. But I think ultimately, practical Brad in the end looked at those frustrations and said, first of all, I don't have to coach him anymore, so I can step away from that a little bit. But also, he does a lot to help our team, and he's a guy you can win significant things with. And on the other part of that, with Kemba, I never believed for a second that report that there was a rift between the two of them. Anybody who mentioned it to me, I tried to shoot it down based on what we know about both guys and based on what we know about their relationship. And getting back to that practical point again, they did everything they could to have Kemba ready for the playoffs last year. No back-to-backs, limiting his minutes, whatever they needed to do, and he still wasn't there for them at the end. And you can't do that again. You can't go through that again and do everything to the point of even, you know, losing winnable games because you're not playing him, and then getting to that point in the postseason where he can't go in the most crucial moments of your season. So moving on from him, it made a lot of sense beyond the salary implications. And I think Brad could have a lot of respect for the person, a lot of respect for the player, and just also realize this isn't going to work for us again if it's going to be like it was last year.
I like the practical thing because I think the outside view of sports, professional sports, tends to skew towards perfection. Right? We want things to be perfect. And fans want things to be perfect. And any sign of things not being perfect becomes the, well, you got to get rid of him, or maybe he's going to go because you want things to be perfect. I think anybody who's been in any sort of long-term relationship understands that sometimes you get frustrated with the partner in the relationship. Sometimes you're the partner that the other one gets frustrated with. And
often, actually.
Yeah. So I have experience with that. And you have to get past rough patches. Every couple goes through a fight. Every relationship has some sort of tension in it somewhere, somehow, at some point. And sure, maybe there was some with Kemba because he loves to play basketball. Maybe there was some with Marcus Smart because, yeah, some of those heat check threes, you got to be like, come on, we just talked about this,
right?
You know, but you know, for everything, you know, Brad does keep that even keel, at least after the game. Like during the game, he can see some of that frustration. But and this brings me to the comparison between him and Danny Ainge, because I think one thing that stood out to me with Brad so far is the willingness to make the deal that benefits both sides. That in contrast to what Danny Ainge, I think, became at the tail end of his tenure, I think Danny Ainge was so focused on, I got to win this deal. I got to make sure that we get the absolute win on this deal, that maybe he might have let certain deals go.
Yeah.
And, you know, that
Turner's like, one of those.
The what?
Turner, one of those with Indiana.
That might have been one. You know, I think when you look at deals that benefit both sides, Brad is willing to say, I'll do something that you are okay with so long as I am okay with the results. And I'm not so sure that Ainge was like that towards the end.
Yeah, I don't think he was. I'm not really sure why, because I think for a pretty long stretch, he was able to do both things, which is win the trade, but also have the flexibility to say, you know what, we'll give up this too to get the, you know, the player that we want. We'll throw in this extra pick or this extra guy. And it seems like for whatever reason, they got away from that. And
I have a theory on that.
What is it?
I think the Justice Winslow pursuit scared Danny Ainge into, like, basically scared him straight.
I've said this before on the podcast.
I think that because if you look at the number of trades that he made before that deal and the number of trades that he made after that deal, the only trades he made after that deal have been like cap clearing things. And I think there was the only major one was the Tatum for Markel Fultz, knowing full well the Lakers were going to take Lonzo at two. So that was like
another first. Yeah.
But since how close he came to giving up a ton for Justice Winslow, and you read the stories coming out of that where he was like, things got a little out of control there in the moment, that he realized in that moment that, like, whoa. And since then, I think he backed off. Now, that's just my theory. I think the numbers somewhat support that, because he backed off a lot of trades, a lot of what ifs, a lot of almost deals were rumored, but very few of them materialized. And I just wonder if that moment made him stick to, like, this is my formula and I'm not deviating from that formula anymore.
That's interesting. Yeah. I hadn't thought of that, but it makes a lot of sense. And that is a sliding door scenario. If that deal had actually gone through, I was all in on Justice Winslow. I felt like, I remember when those rumors were going, that felt like a steep price, but I was also like, well, if he likes him, and, you know, he just had that great run with Duke in the tournament, and Jahlil Okafor is going to be a star too. So might as well go get one of those great Duke guys. I would say you're onto something there, that probably scared him a little bit. And it leaves you with the, you know, those what ifs of, you know, what deals he might have been able to pull off that he didn't, because whether he was slightly gun shy or had some reluctance or had to always win the trade, you know, there were probably some opportunities to improve this team over the last couple of years that we don't even know about that would have made decent enhancements. I'm an Ainge guy. I always thought he was a tremendous general manager, and I think fans tend to overlook how difficult it is to win in the NBA. Just the restrictions, the fact you've got to have an A-list superstar and then a couple of other really high-end players around him, and just how lucky or fortunate or terrible you have to be to get those guys sometimes. And if you track Ainge's path here from when he got here and the various things that he did, including you know, putting together the first big three and the Kyrie trade and some of the other deals along the way, I think he did tremendous work. But it's reasonable to think that maybe, maybe he didn't quite have the stomach for some of the things he had a stomach for as he got older. And maybe that could be a reason why he decided to step away a little bit.
Yeah. I mean, look, and we can litigate the end of Ainge's tenure here. I think there is some incomplete because he didn't get to see the Jason Tatum era through. You say that fast. It says, sounds like Jason Terry era, which he also didn't get to see through. But
thank goodness.
Back to wrap up the show with Chad Finn in just a minute. First, I got to tell you about Built Bar. Built Bar is the best tasting protein bar on the market. They've got 9 delicious flavors that range from chocolatey, like double chocolate, to fruity, like orange, or something like salted caramel or coconut. Whatever your heart desires, it's here. It tastes like a candy bar. There are nut-free options, and it's all healthy for you. It's good if you're on a keto diet. Not a problem at all there. If you've got the nut allergy, you can go through this and find them without nuts. If you are looking for the nutrition facts, go to built.com and just scroll over them. They've got a lot of different products too. They've got these Built Puffs. They've got protein balls now. They've got different things that show up on built.com all the time. The protein bars are great. They are all 17 to 18 grams of protein, calories ranging from 130 to 180, about 4 or 5 grams of sugar, and only 4 or 5 grams of net carbs. Delicious, healthy for you, tasty, all of that. Go to built.com, use the promo code LOCKED15. LOCKED15 gets you 15% off your next order. Use it as often as you want. Get a mixed box, figure out what flavors you like, then go back and use it again. LOCKED15 gets you 15% off every time at built.com. Today's show is also brought to you by Bet Online. Football is back, and we know that football is something a lot of people like to bet on, and Bet Online is your number one spot for all the pro and college football action this season. Updated odds, props, and contests, including online's biggest $500,000 NFL mega contest and the world's largest $200,000 NFL Survivor contest. It's all open now at Bet Online. Sign up now with the promo code Locked On. You'll get a 100% welcome bonus. Whatever you deposit in that first deposit, 100% welcome bonus, they match it. It's like winning your bet right away. You can use promo code NFL100 to take advantage of the opening day super promo. Bet on the Bucks-Dallas Cowboys game. If you lose, your wager will be refunded up to $25. So if you want football, basketball, boxing, your favorite Vegas casino games, it's all right there at BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. Please gamble responsibly. Be sure to follow our social channels at LO Celtics on Twitter and at Locked On Celtics on Instagram. You know, I do think that Ainge ended up kind of chasing his tail a little bit at the end here with the Horford departure, which was surprising. The Kyrie departure, which somewhat surprising in a different way. Kyrie not working out, you know, just trying to go, you know, one after another after another.
But Hayward,
which, yep. And so Brad now, I think, has that contrast. I've seen how Ainge has operated, and he's seen how Ainge, I guess we can call it gun shy Ainge a little bit, for lack of a better term, how he operated. And it makes me wonder if Brad thinks, all right, there were a couple of these things that I would have loved to have happened, or I would have tried to get this guy. I would have loved to get this guy. And this extra piece that didn't, you know, cause Ainge to say no, I was fine with that. And again, just guessing, but I think looking at practical Brad going in there and saying, hey, if as long as the end of the day we're 51-49, I don't care that they got 49. We get the 51%, you know, we win, we get what we want, and we're good. And I'm curious to see how that drives him moving forward.
I would like to know the guys Brad liked, because you know, we always heard last season Jeff Teague was a Brad guy because the Indiana ties and you know, his admiration for him as a player, and that's one probably is the new general manager and the new president of basketball operations that you want to pin on the old guy. I had nothing to do with that. I'd like to know how much he was in on Tristan Thompson. I mean, in some ways, when they made that trade, you could look at it and say, That's what they need. Good offensive rebounder, tough defender. But after watching him for a few games and, you know, the refusal to kick the ball out when he get an offensive rebound, things like that, he must have maybe wonder if he was someone who was a bit of a surprise to Brad and how he did certain things on and off the court, you know. So I'd love to know not just what guys he did like, but the guys that Ainge brought in here that maybe Brad might have had some resistance to. He's never going to tell us.
No, he'll never tell us, you know. Maybe if I gave him half a beer and got him drunk one day, but we'll see. I wonder, and I'm curious what you think here about what the end of Brad's coaching tenure will play into the decisions that he makes, because the last couple of years, you know, Brad came into this whole thing and built up a reputation as getting the most out of his teams. And then, you know, this past year, different, very difficult circumstances. I don't know how much anybody could have gotten out of these guys, but disappointing years. He had the disappointing year with Kyrie, disappointing year this past season. And in the middle of that was a season that got canceled or postponed in the middle with the bubble. So the last 3 years were Brad kind of dealing with big name Kyrie, a player, a big time player, a big money player that wasn't capable of playing, and the ascension of two young stars in Tatum and Brown. I just wonder, having seen the coaching, the difficulties of coaching the big names and trying to make things work with the influx of players, I wonder what that's going to do to impact his moves as this moves forward.
Yeah, it's an interesting question, because I mean, you'll hear from fans sometimes who say, well, Ainge never went out and got that superstar. And he did. It was Kyrie. And it worked for a little while. And it was really fun for a little while. And you could watch him and say, this is the guy, hit the shot, one of the biggest shots in NBA history to win the title for Cleveland against that loaded Warriors team. And he's going to be the guy who leads the Celtics back. And it felt like those pieces were going to fit for a while. But we came to realize the Kyrie's a guy who's probably not going to be happy in almost every situation. I mean, if he can't make it work with the Nets, where basically their coach lets the three guys do what they want to do, to the point that, you know, Harden decided he's going to be the point guard and Kyrie the two, and agreed on it, so they did it. If that can't work, it really can't work for him anywhere. He wasn't happy being the number two to LeBron. He wasn't happy after a few months here after Hayward got hurt and some things went haywire. And I can't put that on the coach, because I think every coach is going to have that issue with Kyrie in his to the end of his career. You know, maybe you could look at Ainge and say, well, they should have done more due diligence on Kyrie. But my thinking was, he just needs to get out of Cleveland and go have his own team, and he's going to be happy and healthy. And I just don't know if he has a happiness part of that in him. So I excuse Brad on that. And I think maybe one of the most reassuring things, John, of this off season is that Brad has shown that he feels good about the players he has. Mm-hmm. And the issues that we saw or thought we were seeing, or, you know, were speculated upon this past season, and just a crazy, unprecedented, incredibly difficult year, aren't enough or weren't enough for Brad to say, I don't want to deal with this guy anymore. I don't want to deal with that guy anymore. It's clear that Jason Tatum is having a say in their organization right now. It's clear that Jaylen Brown has a lot of respect from the people at the top of the organization, including Brad. And Marcus and Robert Williams are re-signed. Al Horford is back. That's a sign, all of that, that Brad feels really good about the personnel they have. I know he's limited by some of the things that he can do, but every indication that we've seen this offseason is that he thinks Jason Tatum is going to become an A-list superstar, and he thinks Jaylen Brown is going to be a pretty good Batman to his Robin to his Batman, or something more than that. So I think you have to feel good about the way he's assessing the team, and the fact that the guy who probably had the most reason to be frustrated with them last year still feels pretty good about the players that are here.
And the whole Kyrie discussion is interesting, because I think the year after he left, we asked Brad, you know, what did he learn about the team and all that stuff? Or he said something like, the thing I learned was everything I thought about playing good basketball was true. So basically saying that things that we did last season were not what I wanted to do. And I was right. And it makes me wonder if there was some level of, you know, Ainge doing what most GMs, president of basketball ops would do with a star, a superstar that's kind of dangling in that free, you know, getting ready to leave. You kowtow to him. He's whatever you want. Yeah, I can do it. Excuse them for bad behavior. Just whatever you want. Just please be happy. Please resign here.
Don't go.
Yeah, please don't go. You know, holding the leg, you know, but so here we are. Jason Tatum is ascending to that. He's a young kid. He's 23 years old, right?
He's 19. So, that's what I was here.
Yeah, right. That's right. My fault. He's 19. he's a young guy. He's clearly growing into this role. He's taking, a different path to potential superstardom, but here he is growing into it. Brad was his coach. Now he's the president of basketball ops. And Tatum is kind of his best friends with Bradley Beal. And one of the things that you hear about Bradley Beal, why does he like being in Washington? Washington gives him control. Washington allows him to have this level of control. And if he leaves and goes to Boston, he doesn't have that. He gives some of that up. Tatum, I would assume, sees some of that and goes, yeah, I kind of want that. And is starting to feel his oats a little bit. And I wonder how much of that relationship is going to be Brad. You know, eventually in a couple of years, he's going to be able to opt out. 3 years is going to be able to opt out. Brad, how much is Brad going to be like, all right, I got to play the game? Or if he's going to be able to say, hey, man, I'm still your coach, or, you know, I'm still the guy that was your coach. You got to work with me here and not try to take over the franchise. We got to work together on this franchise.
Yeah, I feel like they're trying to give him some degree of equity. I don't know if it applies to Jalen too, but it definitely seems obvious with Tatum that when they're talking about going out and getting a Josh Richardson, that Tatum is asked about Josh Richardson at the very least. What do you think of this guy? Should we keep Robert? Though, you know, what do you think of this? What do you think of that? And there are probably a couple of reasons for that. Fear that about free agency coming up in a couple of years. It's always good to preemptively make your players feel like they're welcome and wanted and a big part of the process there, and that you're trying to do what they feel like is best. Even if those things don't completely jibe, make the player feel that way. Because every team in the NBA that has a magnificent young player like Tatum is, lives in that fear that the guy's going to go form a super team on the West Coast somewhere, or be the next guy recruited by LeBron or Kevin Durant or Steph Curry or whoever. So that's a part of it. I think the other thing is, I've wondered this. I don't know this, but I've wondered how much of an inkling he's given them about what Bradley Beal is really going to do. Have they talked to Tatum about what Bradley Beal has told him? I don't know. That's not tampering if you're asking your own guy, as far as I'm concerned. But I feel like he has as much of an idea right now about Beal's long-term plans as Bradley Beal does. If anybody knows, it's probably Tatum. And, initially, as the offseason began, it certainly looked like they were trying to set things up to go out and sign Beal. That's obviously not possible now. But I've always had that thought in the back of my head that that they were getting intel from Tatum and involving Tatum on the process about what Beal is thinking about his own future and whether he's an option to come here.
So I'm curious to see what Brad, speaking of Beal, what Brad Stevens is going to, how he's going to handle the trade deadline. So we'll wrap up the Brad Stevens conversation with this. Do you think the pressure of the trade deadline is going to change how Brad operates?
He's finally going to get gray hair, that kind of thing.
Maybe. We'll see a wrinkle or two.
Yeah. He won't look 28. I don't know. I bet he's looking forward to the first one here. As we're talking about being involved in a secondary kind of way in that process when it was Ainge's show. And, we've seen the effect that this job and that particular part of the job, making deals under deadline and stress, can have on have on somebody. It's kind of amazing Ainge was in that job for as long as he was, 18 years, because it's worn out younger men faster. But I think Brad, probably being the relative novice that he is and a rookie at this, is probably really interested in the process. And he's got guys around him who have been through it, who have a sense for how the logistics of all of it work. And he probably does a little bit too, just from being on the ancillarily involved with it when Ainge was running the show. So I don't think there's probably too much stress or pressure on him right away, because I think it's probably eagerness on him to see what it's like being in that number one chair during the trade deadline.
Big thanks to Chad Finn for coming on and talking a little bit of Brad Stevens with me today. Tomorrow, the Jaylen Brown episode, we continue this conversation. It's all about Jaylen Brown, how he fits with Jason Tatum, them working together, what he's building on with his game. It's a great conversation that is coming up tomorrow, so make sure you check out that show. Subscribe wherever you get your podcast. Subscribe on YouTube. Make sure you're doing that. Comment. Give me some feedback. Let me know what you think of the show, some of the points that I'm making. You can always comment on the YouTube page and share the podcast. Tell your friends. They should be listening to the Locked On Celtics podcast here on the Locked On Podcast Network.